So tonight we're going to get to hear from our wonderful friend Victoria, who is has been such a joy to have here in Georgia, and she always definitely makes everyone comfortable in fellowship, especially new people. So,
yeah.
It's exciting to hear you teach. Come on up.
Hello, people. Hello, people. This is weird. When you were teaching that one time, you're like, that's a little weird, like, talking to this thing and these things. Your people, sorry. I'm talking about that right now. I thought it was cool that you chose face-to-face, Jeff, because my teaching is on keeping perspective with the hope in mind. So it was a cool reminder while I was reading it of what I was going to be teaching. So, so let's go to Romans. Start it off. Romans 15. I should tell you where in Romans. Romans 15:13. We're going to start. And it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So it says here that God is a God of hope, and that he fills us with all joy and peace in believing. And when I looked up fill, you know, that's what you think it means. It's fill, but it liberally supplies. Like, what's the verse where it's shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, run over? That's what it is, you know, filled. And then it says we're filled with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. And again, abound is super abound, be in excess in that hope. So God always wants us to be hopeful people. He wants us to be those people full of hope, not hopelessness, but hopeful people. And throughout God's word, you'll see how God gives people hope, even from the very beginning in Genesis, where he gave hope of salvation after everything got messed up, because they're people. So it's really cool how God gives us a hope, and it's really cool because the hope helps us have joy and peace, and not just joy, just like all joy, like full capacity. We can have that when we believe that hope. And to believe is an action. And what it is that you believe what's available for you now, according to God's word. And then to hope is to believe what's available in the future, according to God's word. So God gives us that in his word. Let's go to Acts 2. So this is the first occurrence of hope being used, referring to the return of Christ, in the New Testament, in Acts 2:23. Acts 2:23. Still not there. All right. Here we are. So, this is Peter talking to people after Pentecost, and he says in verse 23, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, Jesus Christ, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So it's cool here that you know, amongst all the people that God gives hope to, David was definitely one of them. And he says here that, you know, God revealed to him that, you know, he wasn't going to be left in hell. And that word hell means grave. He wasn't going to be left in the grave. He was going to get up. And not only that, but that the Holy One, meaning the Messiah, wasn't going to be corrupt or corrupted. It wasn't going to see corruption. And also, doesn't mention it here, but he tells him that he, the Messiah, comes from his bloodline. So there's a lot of things that, that God gave him hope to look forward to, which really helped him stay in hope and not be moved. Like it says, I should not be moved. And he also says that my tongue was glad. And it says, thou shalt make me, in verse 28, thou shalt make me full of joy. There's that filling. Full of joy with thy countenance. So, you know, God makes us full of joy despite everything that's going on. He can give us that hope and that joy because we have something to look forward to. So let's go now to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at the hope just a little bit. There's a lot to it, like a lot of cool stuff in the Word about it. So I encourage you all to look into that. Dr. Werewolf has a great book, The Dead Alive Now, that goes into it. But it's something that we need to, like, I love my teaching. We need to keep it in the forefront of our minds because this is what keeps our perspective in life. And it's what helped David. It's what helped Paul. You know, Paul was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was almost, well, he was stoned, but not to death, thank the Lord. And he was almost killed, and he still preached the word. Why do you think he did that? Because he had that hope. You know, he got the revelation for Thessalonians, which is all about the hope. So, you know, he had that in his mind. That's what helped him keep going. So let's look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Listen up. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. So, first off, this is the first part of Jesus Christ coming back the second time. His first was being born, but the second time he's coming back, and he's coming back for us. And so this is for all the born-again believers, the ones after Pentecost, the ones in that church of God, and us saints, if the dead, those who are dead, who are in the church of God, they're going to get up, and then we who are alive are going to rise with them, and then we're going to be forever with the Lord. The next thing that comes is called the Day of the Lord. So that's when Christ comes back with his saints, and that's the judgment day that a lot of people hear about. And so there's going to be the resurrection of the just and the unjust. But it's really awesome, too, the greatness of the day in which we live as well. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:2, because we don't have to endure the wrath to come. And it's going to talk about that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, this is talking about unbelievers, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, this is in contrast, brethren, talking about the believers, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So, this is just really cool that we, as the church of the body, that we don't have to endure that punishment and that judgment, but we're only going to get rewards for what we do. And it's really cool because we know that that salvation is sure, and that, you know, Christ is coming back for us, and that we don't have to endure this. We don't have to, it's not going to overtake us like a thief in the night. We're, you know, he's going to come for us. We're expecting it. We're anticipating him coming for us. So then what's really awesome after that in Revelation 20, Revelation 21. And it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after he must be loosed a little season. And then go down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters in the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city in fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What a day. And then down in 21, verse 14, it says, too, the death and hell, meaning the grave, were cast down into the lake of fire as well. This is the second death. So finally, you know, Satan's going to get his, and also death, which is that enemy. It's not a friend, it's an enemy. And that, too, is going to be destroyed at this time. And then if you go down to verse 21:4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Wow. So this seems so abstract in my mind, at least sometimes, because it's like, that's all we're used to, you know, we're used to this life. But just think about it for a little bit. None of that. No more crying. I cry a lot. And I won't have to anymore. No more of that. No more sorrow. You know? No more death. No more funerals. No more any of that crap. It's going to be gone. It's going to be in that fire. Forever burning. And we're going to be forever in heaven. So this is just a little bit of the hope. Definitely something that I encourage us all to look into more, because it's big and it's great and it brings you joy. It just gets you happy thinking about that. So another really cool thing about this hope is that it's a sure hope. It's something that we can rest assured in, that it's going to happen. And we're going to go to Hebrews 6. And I'm going to read this from the Working Translation, because there's some cool stuff in there from that. So Hebrews 6, verse 19. Me and Will are having a water break. Cheers. Okay, Hebrews 6, 19. It says, and this is a Working Translation, so it might look a little bit different than your Bible. We have the hope as an anchor of the soul, both firm and secure, even for entering behind the veil, where one running ahead entered on our behalf, namely Jesus, who became a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. There's a cool footnote in the working translation that I'm going to read for you guys about this anchor. And it says, the ships in the lands and times of the Bible had multiple anchors. Certain anchors were used for securing and holding the ship in its desired location, while others were used for warping the ship into a port or harbor. The anchor used for warping would be lowered into a buoy or a small boat and then taken into port. After being made firm and secure, the anchor would be used to pull the vessel in. So here in Hebrews, the hope is referred to as an anchor of the soul. It is firm and secure, and it is for entering behind the veil. So it's like pulling us in that harbor. And it says, for the entering in of that veil. And then there's another footnote that I just wanted to mention, where it says that this veil spoken here is not referring to the veil of the earthly tabernacle, but rather to the veil of the holy place that Jesus entered, which is heaven itself. So he's pulling us in. You know, each day is closer to the hope of Jesus Christ coming back. We're getting closer and closer to that harbor. And I love this verse in 20 where it says, where one running ahead entered on our behalf, Jesus. So he ran forth before us. I think of like a surprise party and somebody's like going before the people that are going to get there to prepare it and make it all fun. And then they're like, surprise! So that's kind of what it's like. That's what it made me think of. You know, he ran ahead. He was that example. And now he's preparing and we're waiting for that day that he gets us. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. I'm going to also read that from the Working Translation. First Peter 1, 3. First Peter 1:3 says in the Working Translation, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to be born again with a view to a living hope. That is, with a view to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Through believing, you are protected by the power of God unto a salvation, deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, again, we're born again to a view of that living hope. We can have that perspective, that mindset of, you know, we have a living hope that's, what does it say here? It's incorruptible. It's not going to corrupt. It's not going anywhere. It's undefiled. It's nice and pure. And it's unfading. It's not going to fade away. And that's the inheritance that's reserved for each and every one of us. We all have that ticket there because we have that spirit within. This is silly, but it made me think of that movie 2012. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's basically one of those the day the earth's going to end type of movies. Very silly. But they have, like, all the rich people are buying up, they have in advance, they buy tickets for, like, just in case if the world ends. And so they know of all these, they're making these, like, arcs to help save them from the earth collapsing and the waters and everything moving around. So these rich people got their place tickets reserved. And then the day starts to happen where, you know, the world's going to end. And then they go into the waiting area to get into these boats, and then it's happening sooner than they thought, so then they start closing it up on them where they won't get in and stuff like that, and everyone's real mad. You don't have to watch it, it's not that great, but anyways, it just made me think, like, that is not what it's going to be like at all. Like, we have that ticket reserved, it's not going anywhere, it's incorruptible. And, you know, we've got it. You know, every time we speak in tongues, it's that proof that we have spirit within. It's that proof that we have that ticket. It's that proof that he's coming back. It's that proof that he died and was resurrected, because we couldn't have it unless that happened. And it's a proof that we're, if we're dead, that we're going to get up too. So it's really cool that we have not only a hope, but one that's sure and true. And, you know, that's what you can stake stuff on. Like, you don't want anything. Like, for us, it's really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, we often hear, like, oh, I hope for this, or I hope that this will happen. But that's, like, it's, we're talking about it, like, I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, maybe, maybe not. But that's not what the hope is in the word. It's a true hope, it's a sure hope, and it's going to happen. So, you know, it's getting our minds into not the world's definition of what hope is, but what God's word says the hope is. And God's word says that this hope is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. So, good. Yeah. I was about to say amen to that, but I felt like, what is that? Somebody, I don't know. I felt like I was stealing someone else's why. Okay. So let's look at why God gives us hope, why he wants to be a hopeful people. So like I mentioned earlier, or like God's word mentioned earlier in Romans 15:13, is that so that we can have joy and peace, be full and abundant with it. But it's also something that can help us stand and get through life and have that good, that perspective. So let's go to 1 Peter. Oh, we're there already. Sorry. Good job, guys. I don't know. I think of this, hope as well as like an anticipated trip. So I don't know if you all can think of a trip that you're really excited to go to. I'm personally excited to go see my family. So if you think about that with a trip you're anticipating, you like get things ready, you start like, maybe you start packing, maybe you say that to the end, like myself. You start thinking about what you're going to do there, maybe start booking hotels. And then also I think too, with work, it can get crazy and crazy, but you have that anticipation, like, in 2 weeks, it's okay, I'm going to be here, or wherever, I'm going to be on the beach, or wherever you're going to be, and it just makes it less, ugh, you know, because you have that intended end, and I think about that for the hope, that that's what gets us through a lot of tough things, is because, you know, one day we're not going to have to deal with that, you know? We don't have to deal with all that stuff. We don't have to worry about it. And it's just going to be a forever awesome party with all you wonderful people and all the wonderful believers around the world. And with God and Jesus Christ. I mean, pretty awesome. So 1 Peter 1:5, since we've been here for this whole time. So let's just start back at 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our... I'm still reading from the Working Translation. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to be born again with a view to a living hope. That is, with a view to an incorruptible, an undefiled, and unfading inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Through believing, you are protected by the power of God unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you are very glad, even though it may be necessary for a short time at present to be grieved by many kinds of temptations, so that the proof of your believing, which is of much more value than gold, which perishes and which is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that's kind of what it says here. It's just like, we are protected by this, by the power of God. We're going to heaven, you know. We have that sure hope. And this we can be very glad in. And even though we're going to go through stuff in this life, even though we go through stuff in this life and it seems unbearable, you know, remember that this isn't our end. Like, this isn't everything. Like, the world is going to... go away, all this, the imperfectness of the world, and we're going to be forever with him. And all the pain and sorrow and all that stuff is going to go away. So, you know, it's for a short time. We think of things as seeming forever, but, you know, time with God, I think there's a verse where he talks about, like, a day is a thousand years.
Yeah.
You know, time with him, it's like, it's going to be, like, what is this with eternity? You know, it's going to, it's like a drop in a bucket versus eternity. So just keeping that perspective, keeping that hope in your hearts when you go through things, and that's what's going to help you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. You know, God has made us super conquerors, and even in this life when we're going through stuff, he's given us all these spiritual blessings to help make us powerful in this life so that we're not overcome. So even now, he gives us these little helps, and then he gives us the hope, which is what he wanted in the first place. He wanted all of this. He wanted that family. 2 Corinthians 4. Did I say that? Sorry. 4:7. Second Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And then skip down to verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things on this earth, they're temporal. The things that we go through right now, it's temporal. But those things, the things of the hope, the things that we can believe for or believe in that are going to happen in the future, that is eternal. And that's sure. And that's definitely going to happen. And it's cool that this helps us not get discouraged. You know, it says we're troubled, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Like, it helps keep just that reminder that this is not it. This is not our end. And that, you know, that inward man, that spirit, is renewed day by day. Even though these bodies are getting older, you know, that inward man continues to be renewed. And then it's cool here that he writes, "for our light affliction," because we don't think it's very light when we're dealing with this stuff. But again, it's changing your perspective with the hope in mind that this is a light affliction compared to eternity without any sort of tribulation, any sort of sorrow or pain. Think of it in terms of that, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's a light affliction. It's all about renewing our mind. It comes back to that. Okay, Romans 13:11. Romans 13, verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep." Wake up! "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." So another great thing about this hope, it's not just a thing for the future, but this hope anticipates, but it also calls us to act. It calls us to action now, while we're waiting. You know, wake up, it says. You know, salvation is coming even closer than yesterday. Could be in the next second, in the next moment. So wake up. Just think about, if that were to happen, what would you want to do in this moment? Like, I was just thinking, there's so many more people out there that need to know about this, that need to know that he's coming back. And how easy it is to be saved and to have all these great blessings now, as well as a hope to look forward to. Like, what that can bring to people. So, you know, it's really cool that we have something to look forward to, but it's also a call to action for us to stand. And let's close in 1 Corinthians 15. It's another great full section on the hope. I swear when I get up here, I forget where the books of the Bible are. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, I found it. Verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's really great to keep that perspective. We've been listening to Living Victoriously in my house, and the section on God's power, Dr. Werewolf said, most of the time you want to get a big laugh out of yourself in the situations around you, at the stupidity of the devil, and at the greatness of God that lives within you. It is God and Christ in you. And I just thought that was such a great perspective to have, that, you know, just have a laugh. Like, when situations come up, maybe not do it out loud so that people think you're crazy, but just, like, inside, just laugh at, like, this is the stupidity of the devil trying to fight a losing battle. Like, he's just lost, and he's still out there trying to put him up. And it's just laugh at him. I'm like, I have God and Christ in me. What are you trying to do here? But it's just so great that, you know, he's going to be in fire and brimstone, and so is death, and we're going to be up there in heaven. So, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, therefore, and then I have in my Bible my name, and that's a good thing to have for each of you. Just have your name there. Therefore, Juanita. Therefore, William. Therefore, Michael. Beloved, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the hope is a hope to look forward to, but it also calls us to stand. So just to recap, God is a God of hope, and he doesn't want us to be ignorant of all of the things that the hope has to offer and what we can think about. He never wanted us to be a hopeless people. He gave David hope, and he gives us hope. And this is a sure hope. It's going to happen. It's not fading away. We have that reserve ticket, and it brings forth peace and joy. Peace and joy that abounds full. And it allows us to be patient amongst persecution and tribulation, and allows us to stand, because we know that we know that we know, that's Dr. Rebel, right? Okay. That there is a day coming soon where there will be no tears, no sorrow, no death, and the devil will be forever in fire, and we're going to forever be with him and the Lord and with all you guys, and I'm really looking forward to that day. But yeah, that's what I wanted to share.